Chazar is zechen nishma b'chach eschus shagam nevam yehud mishal shabbos afkuf mam zayin. Talk to mission if someone had two babies that needed a meal, one whose eighth day was on Sunday and one whose eighth day was on Shabbos, and he mistakenly gave a meal to the Sunday baby on Shabbos, he's chayev achatos for the wound that he created because he didn't even accomplish a mitzvah by doing the premature meal. Talk to mission in the second case if someone had two babies that needed a meal performed, one whose eighth day was on Friday and one whose eighth day was on Shabbos, he mistakenly gave a meal to the Friday baby on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer says he's chayev achatos although he was preoccupied with a mitzvah for the meal on the Shabbos baby, and he ultimately did a mitzvah by giving the meal to the Friday baby, he's still chayev. Rabbi Shua says he's potter since he was preoccupied with the mitzvah and he ultimately did a mitzvah, bich potter. Rabbi Huna learned the mission like we have it written by us. This can be seen in the Brice as well. The Brice said, if Shimon Elazar says that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua don't argue in the case of the first case that he's chayev, they only argue in the second case, like our mission says. Achalekah says, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua, they both say chattas, to be chayev chattas has to be like avoid the zorah. Rabbi Eliezer says, just like avoid the zorah, the Torah says not to do it, and one who does is chayev chattas, same is true in this case. Rabbi Shua says, by avoid the zorah, no mitzvah is being done. That's why he's chayev. In the second case of the mission, he's performing a mitzvah of Milan, therefore he's not chayev. Yehuda learned our mission like the following Brice. Meir says, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua agree that in the second case he's potter since he accomplished a mitzvah by giving meal to the Friday baby. They argue in the first case, Rabbi Eliezer says he's chayev, Rabbi Shua says he's potter since he's preoccupied with performing a mitzvah, he's potter even though he ultimately doesn't do a mitzvah. Over here, the basis of Machloek is that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua say the chattas has to be like chayev chattas, you have to do it similar to avoid the zor. Rabbi Eliezer says, just like avoid the zor, the Torah says not to do it, and someone who does is chayev chattas. Same is true over here. The fact that he intended to do a mitzvah doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Shua says, by avoid the zor, he was not preoccupied with doing a mitzvah, and that's why he's chayev, but over here he's preoccupied with doing a mitzvah, and that's why he's going to be potter. Rechia taught that Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua agree that in the second case he's chayev. They argue in the first case, Rabbi Eliezer says he's chayev, and Shua says he's potter. If Rabbi Shua says he's potter, affecting the Gemara, if Rabbi Shua says he's potter in the first case when no mitzvah was done, why would he say he's chayev in the second case when he actually did a mitzvah? The yeshiva of Rabbi Yana, he said, Rabbi Meir is discussing a second case where he gave a milah to the Shabbos baby on Friday. And so Shabbos, he had no reason to ever be doing a Shabbos rule because the Shabbos baby already had the milah done. That's why he's chayev. In case one, Rabbi Meir is discussing where the Shabbos baby did not yet have a milah done. So Shabbos was to be doicha for the milah, and that's why he's potter. Even in the case two, as we just explained, they gave the Shabbos milah before Shabbos, but Shabbos is still doicha for other milahs of other children. The Gemara answers, Shabbos wasn't given to be overridden for this person, and that's why he's chayev. So after mission, a healthy child is sometimes given a milah on the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, 11th, the 12th day, never before the 8th, never after the 12th. A typical case is given a milah on the 8th day. If he's born ben hashmashos, we're stringent and make him wait 8 days from the following day, which is the 9th day. If he's born ben hashmashos on Friday, we make him wait till Sunday, which is the 10th day. If he's born ben hashmashos on Friday when Sunday is Yom Tiv, then he has to wait till after Yom Tiv, which is the 11th day. If that Yom Tiv is 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, then he has to wait till after Rosh Hashanah, which would make it the 12th day. If a baby's sick, we don't do a meal until he's healthy. Gemara Shmuel says, if a baby was sick and the fever now left him, we don't do a meal until 7 days after he's better. In fact, those 7 days need to be a 24-hour period, Meis Leis. Where it says, a Bryce says that we wait until after he gets better, just like when he was born. That seems to mean that just like basically we give him 7 days after his birth without waiting, may slays the same thing as when the baby got sick. The Gemara says, no Raya, it could be that we wait the same number of days, but they are different, because the days after birth don't need to be may slays, but the days after being sick maybe have to be may slays. Zuck the mission, if after the mila there remain strands of skins that cover most of the top area of the aver, it's considered to be as no mila at all. Therefore, a Kayan who has this can't eat truma, because it's like he never had a mila done. Child is heavy so that the extra skin covers over what was really a proper milah. They must remove the additional skin so people who see it shouldn't think that a milah wasn't done. A milah in which the skin was not pulled back to make the top of the aver visible is not considered to be a milah at all. Gemara Ravina in the name of Yirmi Rav, in the name of Rav and Rav says, the strands of skin may make the milah even ineffective even if they only cover most of the height of the top area of the aver without covering most of the actual area. Shmuel says, in the case of a heavy child whose flesh hangs down and covers the milah, making it look like a milah was never done, if the milah would be noticeable when the aver is stretched out, then the milah is effective. If not, it's not. Shmuel Gamliel says, if the milah is not noticeable when the aver is stretched out, he needs another milah to be done. What's the difference between these two? The difference is, according to Shmuel, the difference would be when it looks somewhat like a bris when the aver is stretched out. According to Shmuel, since the milah is not fully noticeable, he'll need another one. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, since it doesn't look like no milah was ever done, he doesn't need to do another milah. Molvalei Paro. Rice says the Moyel makes the bracha al Amila, the father makes the bracha al Research on Ramavino. The people in attendance say, Shem Shinich, Kane, Kaz, Tadichub, Masm Taivim. The one who makes the next bracha says, Ashay Kiddish, Yedid Mi Betam, Bracha to Hashem, Kairis Abris. Giving a meal to a ger, the Moyel says, Bracha to al Amila. The one who's making the next bracha says, Lomos Agerim, Bracha to Hashem, Kairis Abris. When giving a meal to a slave, the Moyel says, Bracha, the bracha of al Amila. And the one who makes the next bracha says, Lomos Avadam, Bracha to Hashem, Kairis Abris. Hanaloch, Perek, Rabbi Eliezer, the Mila. Perek Toilin, Perek Esrim. Zok the Mishnah Psiyata Dushmaya, Rabbi Eliezer says, you're allowed to place a strainer over a keli on Yom Tif, even though he thereby makes a temporary oil. If there's a strainer already on a keli on Shabbos, you're allowed to run the wine through the strainer. It's not the normal method of Bayer, and therefore it's mutter. The Chum say, you're not allowed to put a strainer over a keli on Yom Tif, and even if there's a strainer already on a keli on Shabbos, you're not allowed to run the wine through the strainer on Shabbos, but on Yom Tif, you may do so. For the Gemara, we find that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't even allow one to add to an existing structure in a temporary on Yom Tif, in the case of putting the shutter into a window to close it up. So how can he say in the Mishnah, you're allowed to make a temporary oil on Yom Tif in the first place? And for the Gemara, he holds like a Yehuda who says that you're allowed to do something, even a preparatory act for the preparation of food on Yom Tov. Therefore, he can make this oil to strain the wine, which is for a food purpose. Like Rabbi Yehuda only allows preparatory acts which are not good if they're done before Yom Tov, but placing the strainer over the keli should not be allowed on Yom Tov because it could easily be done before Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer takes this concept further than Rabbi Yehuda and says that even something that could be done before Yom Tov may be done on Yom Tov itself.